Good morning, everyone. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be back with you. I've been gone for a couple of weeks, and we've covered a lot of territory. We drove over 3,600 miles on our trip and drove all the way out to a little place in California called Merced. I don't know whether you know where that is or not, but it's just north of Fresno. And we had in mind seeing the sights on the way out there and seeing a few sights on the way back. So we saw the Petrified Forest, and we saw the Grand Canyon, and we saw the Sequoia Redwoods, and we saw Yosemite. And on the way back, we saw a big meteor crater just south of Flagstaff. And we also saw some Indian dwellings on the way back. But it was a great trip, and we marveled at the creation of the Lord. It's just amazing. Those redwoods are just, I mean, you've got to see them if you haven't ever seen them in your life. And the Grand Canyon, of course, was the thing that my wife and I liked the best. I understand John has been out to the Grand Canyon, and he went all the way down into the canyon. And it takes a special kind of person to be able to navigate that, for sure. But we didn't do that. We looked off over the edge. I was amazed when I looked off past the railing and everything else, and I saw people that were out there right on the edge of the canyon. And I thought, boy, they're braver than I am. I sure wouldn't do that. But anyway, we had a great trip, and we missed you folks. Hope everything went well here. Joe Stratton is a real good friend of mine, and I know he did a good job preaching for you, and pray that God blessed you here at the church. In just a moment, we're going to look at our text, which is in Acts chapter 1. I've been preaching from Acts chapter 2 several sermons, and you probably thought, well, he's preached enough from Acts. I've got one more sermon from Acts, and I'm going to share it with you today, but it's from the first chapter, and we're going to look at that text in just a moment. But I have a story. I have a story to tell you, if that's okay. There was a Christian lady who lived next door to an atheist, and every day when the lady prayed, the atheist guy could hear her, and he thought to himself, she sure is crazy, praying all the time like that. Doesn't she know there isn't a God? Many times while she was praying, he would go to her house and harass her, saying, lady, why do you pray all the time? Don't you know there is no God? But she kept on praying, and one day she ran out of groceries. And as usual, she was praying to God, explaining her situation, and thanking Him for what He was going to do. As usual, the atheist heard her praying and thought to himself, I'll fix her. And so he went to the grocery store, and he bought a whole bunch of groceries, and he took them to her house, and he dropped them off on the front porch. He rang the doorbell and then hid in the bushes to see what she would do. When she opened the door and saw the groceries, she began to praise the Lord with all her heart, jumping and singing and shouting, Hallelujah! Well, about that time, the atheist jumped out of the bushes and told her, "You old crazy lady, God didn't buy those groceries. I bought those groceries." Well, she broke out and started running down the street, shouting and praising the Lord. When he finally caught her, he asked her what her problem was, and she said, I knew the Lord would provide me with some groceries, but I didn't know that he was going to make the devil pay for them. I thought that was pretty good. Oh, boy. Our text of Scripture today is from Acts chapter 1, verses 14 through 26. And I'll be reading to you from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. And I'll begin in verse 14 of that text. So please note these words from the Bible. "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And at this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren. A gathering of about 120 persons was there together, and said, 'Brethren, the Scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth,'" "the mouth, David, concerning Judas, who became guide to those who arrested Jesus. And he was counted among us and received his portion in his ministry. And the man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out." Ugh, that's terrible. "And it became known to all who were living in Jerusalem, so that their own language, the field was called Hekeldama, that is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let this homestead be made desolate, and let no man dwell in it, and his office let another man take. It is therefore necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these should become a witness with us of the resurrection.' And they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'Thou, Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show which one of these two thou hast chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place.' And they drew lots from them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Now you recognize that story of the 120 who were gathered up in the prayer room and were praying, awaiting the direction of the Lord in the scriptures. Lord Jesus Christ said that they were to remain in Jerusalem until power from on high came in the form of the Holy Spirit, and that would be the establishment of the church. And in the meantime, they took care of business. They were one short on the apostles, and Judas was the one who was unfaithful, and he's one that sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, you remember? And he threw those pieces of silver down, and he went out into the field that was mentioned in our text, and he hung himself. And they replaced him, the apostles that were gathered in this upper room, replaced him with Matthias, was numbered among the apostles, and that's the story that was before us. But I wanted to focus our attention today on the upper room power prayer of the church, and want to talk about that today because, you know, that's an important part of the church. It's a vital part of the success of the Lord's work, and I want to talk and charge you here as brothers and sisters in Christ with that thought and that challenge to be a church of prayer. Let's bow, and we're going to ask the Lord's direction and blessing upon the message today. And so bow with me and pray with me as I share from my heart this prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your direction in our lives. Dear Lord, we lack wisdom, and the Bible says if anyone lacks wisdom that we should pray. So we come before you in prayer, and we seek your guidance and your direction, especially for this church here in Mansfield. I pray that you will help them as they are in search for a preacher, and Lord, as they seek your will for this church out in Mansfield, I pray that you will help them and show them the way. We desperately need your help. We constantly are in need of your direction in our lives. We thank you for Jesus, for the salvation that we have through the blood of Christ. We pray that's our main message, and that we'll be busy about your work, Lord, even in the world in which we live, and that you will use us as witnesses for your kingdom's sake, and we'll give you the credit, Lord, and we pray that you will be our Lord and our King all times in our life. Lord, be with our families, help us to grow in Christ, and we ask it all in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. And all of God's people said, how did the early church grow so fast? Have you wondered about that? I mean, after the day of Pentecost, they were 3,000 strong. Can you imagine the logistics involved in something like that? Such a growth experience. I mean, and just overnight, boom, they were like 3,000 strong, and it wasn't very many more days after that, as you follow the course of the history of the church in the book of Acts, that they grew from 3,000 strong to 5,000 strong. It is said, but about the middle of the book of Acts, that the church was somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 brothers and sisters in Christ. Can you imagine the nursery helpers in that situation? Can you imagine the logistics of where are we going to meet this Sunday or where are we going to meet next Sunday? And, you know, the fellowship dinners, my goodness, talk about a fellowship dinner, and that's something else. You're talking about fellowshipping. You're talking about fellowshipping probably 75 at the most will probably come tomorrow night to this men's fellowship. I was a part of the men's fellowship, and our ladies would always get ready for the men's fellowship, have a big meal and everything, and there's a lot of work involved and everything. But can you imagine feeding 3,000 people? That's just it's beyond comprehension. But the early church grew fast. What was the secret of the success of the first church? Well, let's just talk about day one. Timeline, trace. Return from Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives. Great commission was offered. Huge task before them, world evangelism. The power that they were awaiting. Do not pray for tasks equal to your power. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. Go and wait for power, Jesus told them in the first part of Acts, the first chapter, before he ascended to be with the Father. He encouraged them to meet together and pray for the power that would be sent in the form of the Holy Spirit, that comforter and guide. And they were told to pray. E.M. Bounds said, what the church needs today is not more technology, not more machinery or new organizations or more power or novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use. Men of prayer. Men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men of the Word and prayer. He does not anoint plans, but men of prayer. Do you notice that in the history of the church? The early church was born in a prayer meeting, bathed in prayer. The history of the church's positive progress is a history of prayer. A church that is prayerless is powerless. What can we do to promote and build up the work of the church today? Talk her up, pay her up, and pray her up. That's what you can do. The first church of our Lord exploded with power because she was committed to prayer. God raised up the church when she got down on her knees. Did you hear that? God raised up the church when she got down on her knees. Listen, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. You can be sure of this. If the world is ever again to get on its feet, the church will have to get on its knees. God's purpose and plan for His people throughout the ages is expressed in the charge in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Do you remember that verse? It goes like this. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Four things to do. Three things promised. Are you bowing in humility? Are you praying? Are you seeking? Are you repentant? Then and only then will God hear your prayer, forgive your sin, and heal the land. Now, my proposition for you today to take note of is to take note of these important components of powerful prayer. And the first one is this. The early church prayed obediently. That's found in Acts, the first chapter, verse 4. All of us know the significance of an obedient spirit relative to our spirituality. It is the test of love. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Whoever has my commands and obeys them, Jesus said, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. It is the test of salvation. Hebrews, the 5th chapter and verse 9 says, "And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him." If you love me, Jesus said, then seek me and talk to me and pray. 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 In obedient prayer, we should be immediate in our actions. In verses 10 and 11, it says that. I'll get into prayer someday, people say. I'll get to it later, people say. Procrastination is my sin. It brings me to naught, but for sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will tomorrow. Right now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. The idea of the prayer chain is to give attention to the matter N-O-W. Now. I need you not next week or next month or next year. I need you now. And the Lord needs us now to get down on our knees and pray. And so our obedience in prayer should be immediate. It should also be joyful. Luke 24, verses 45 through 52 talk about this, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Jesus said, "You are my witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And then we have the ascension of Jesus Christ. And He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. And while He was blessing them, He parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping Him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. And we need to pray with joy, as did the early church. We don't do this thing called Christianity out of sheer duty, but we do it rather out of delight, because we love the Lord and we enjoy it, not grudgingly or gratuitously, not as a have-to thing, but as a happy thing. One joy dispels 100 cares. Did you know that? Can you not be happy knowing that God is going to take care of it? And so not only should we pray immediately, but we need to pray joyfully. And then we need to pray expectantly as we pray obediently. They expected to receive, the early church expected to receive. They believed it would happen. Jesus promised, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Matthew 21, verse 22. Do you believe that verse? Do you honestly believe that verse? If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. Dwight L. Moody said, "If you pray for bread and bring no basket to carry it, you prove the doubting spirit, which may be the only hindrance to the gift you ask." I am reminded of the great expectant faith of the little girl who came to the prayer meeting praying to break the drought, carrying her umbrella. She believed. In its early days, Dallas Theological Seminary was in critical need of $10,000 to keep the work going. Well, during a prayer meeting, renowned Bible teacher Harry Ironside, a lecturer of the school, prayed, "Lord, You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Please sell some of those cattle to help us meet this need." Shortly after the prayer meeting, a check for $10,000 arrived at the school, sent days earlier by a friend who had no idea of the urgent need of Ironside's prayer. The man simply said the money came from the sale of some of his cattle. You believe God can do it? Do you really believe God can do it? Can God take this church and resurrect this church to what it could be and what it needs to be if we would just get down on our knees and pray as we've never prayed before, that we pray immediately and joyfully, and we pray as well that with expectancy that God is going to answer our prayers? Well, that's the first thing you should do, is you should pray obediently. And then you need to pray constantly. That's what the early church was doing. That's what the 120 were doing before the 3,000 additions happened in Acts chapter 2. They were down on their knees in prayer. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher. And one day, on one Sunday morning, a person came up to Charles and asked him, just point blank, said, "What do you attribute the great success of your ministry?" Well, Charles didn't say anything. He just took that person and said, "Come follow me." And they went down through the aisle of the great tabernacle where he preached on every Sunday. And they went down to the back door there, and they went down the steps of that back door into the basement of that church. And there were 1,000. Now get this. There were 1,000 people downstairs before church praying. for his ministry and that church. 1,000 people on their knees in prayer. And he said, that's the reason why this church grows and this church goes for the Lord Jesus Christ. There were 120 in prayer in Acts chapter 1. How many of us are there here today? I counted 23. What do you think? 23 of us all get down on our knees and really put our heart into it and really prayed, and you don't think God would bless the work? I do. So we need to pray not only obediently, but we need to pray constantly. What does it mean to pray constantly? Steadfastly is another term that is used. Persevering in, engaged persistently. Those are the three thoughts that go along with constantly. In order to live off a garden, you practically have to live in it. You know what I'm talking about? Any of you gardeners around here, you know what I'm talking about. Placing a high priority on. Showing it constant attention. They were continually devoting themselves. It says here in this text. And in the early church, on the second chapter in verse 42, we see that the planks of the church was that they continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They continually were involved in prayer. We're told to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 17. In Acts 12, verse 5, when Peter was in prison, the church prayed nonstop for him. And it resulted in his ministry for the church being successful. Edward Payson said, prayer is the first thing, the second thing, and the third thing necessary to minister. Prayer, therefore, my dear brothers, we need to pray, pray, pray. A preacher, while watching a marble cutter at work, exclaimed, I wished I could deal such clanging blows on stony hearts. The workman replied, maybe you could if you worked like me on your knees. The power in preaching and ministering comes from constant, continual, persistent prayer. Martin Luther, the great church reformer, said, prayer ought to be frequent and fervent. James, the 5th chapter, and verse 16, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I have just one last thing to say to you about prayer. It ought to be obedient, and it ought to be constant. And you notice they also in the early church prayed with unity, with oneness of heart. It says, with one accord, to breathe heavily together, is what it literally means in the original language. To breathe literally together. To be of the same mind and the same purpose. So we're all of the same mind and the same purpose in this work for the Lord. Psalms 133 says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Strife and schism is a plague that destroys the body of the church. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verses 3 through 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Is that the motive behind your prayer, church? Jesus' greatest desire for the disciples is that they might be one. Listen to his prayer in John, the 17th chapter, verses 21 through 20, verse 20 through 21, where he says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Do we have that united spirit about us that we would like to be one in the Lord, and that if we would pray that prayer and if we would be that way, God would bless the work? The reason mountain climbers are tied together is to keep the sane ones from going home. With a mountain of mercy behind me and a mountain of mission ahead, I need you, my sister, my brother. I need to be tied to you, and you need to be tied to me. I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. That's what John Wesley said. In Peanuts cartoon, Lucy demanded that Linus change TV channels, threatening him with her fist if he didn't. "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" said Linus. "These five fingers," said Lucy. "Individually, they're not, but they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this in a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." "Which channel do you want?" asked Linus, turning away. He looks at his fingers and he says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" There are two ways of being united. One is by being frozen together, and the other is by being melted together. What Christians need to be united in brotherly love, and then they may expect to have power if we're united in love. Thomas Paine once said, as he addressed the First Continental Congress, "If we do not hang together, we will hang separately." The early church was a powerful force for good, and the gospel, because they hung together in obedient, continual prayer. And that's my message for you today. We pray that God will bless the work here because of our united prayer. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. Let's stand together. The girls are going to come and we'll sing our closing hymn together. And Doc. Here come the kids. Perfect timing. Thank you. Prayer requests. Have any prayer requests over on this side of our sanctuary? Okay, praise prayer for Mandy. Anybody else over here? By the way, isn't it a blessing to have our song leaders that do our work leading songs every Sunday? And then also, what a blessing to have Brother Doc to sing for us today. Thank you, Doc, for your special. That was great. And we praise the Lord for that. I know he's feeling better, and it just is evident the spirit of witness that you share with us every Sunday. We thank you for that. Over here, any prayer requests? In back? I would mention my mother again for your attention. She is being moved again to a different facility. They're having trouble finding a place where she fits into that facility. And so pray that my brother and sister can find a place for her. This has been a real test for everybody involved. And pray that her spirit will become calmer and she'll be willing to cooperate. And that can happen. It gets to wearing on you after a while that you're trying to help your loved one to find a place where they're taken care of well and that they are congenial and receptive and cooperative wherever they go. And sometimes that doesn't always work because the mind isn't, she's got the beginning stages of dementia, and that is blocking her the way she's being. She's just not the same person. And I think if you've ever been there and ever experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. And we just need your grace, and we need the Lord to help us out. We really need help. And her name is Pat Zedlitz. If you could put a name to that prayer, that would be very much appreciated. And I thank you for it in advance. Anybody else in prayer? Yes. Yes. We need to pray for America and the future of our country. We need to pray for this church. That's what the whole message was today. Pray, pray, pray. And that means everyone. Everyone in this church, pray for the church, that God will bless the work, and He will. He will show us the direction, He will give us the wisdom, and He will bless the work. I believe that. You all believe that? Say amen. Okay, let's bow then for prayer, and whoever's going to lead us, pray for us.
Father, we're so thankful that we were able to come and worship You today. We ask for Your guidance in the coming week. Help us to do Your will, not ours. Bring us safely back here next Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming. Don't forget, we need your help downstairs.